Heavenly Father, as we stand before you today, we have been adopted into a family by mercy and grace and love. We have been picked out. We have been selected. We have been chosen. We have been sought after. We have been paid for so that we might become children of God. Today we stand before you, Lord, lifting you up, acknowledging you, saying thank you to you this day. We confess, Lord, that sometimes we get full of ourselves and we think that the world is lucky to have us, or our families are lucky to have us, or others around us are just so much more inferior than we are. We confess that arrogance, that pride, that ability, Lord, to look down on others so easily. And we ask, Lord, for the willingness to taste and know humility and brokenness and the strength, Lord, that comes from knowing you are the one. And in you we are more than conquerors. And so, Lord, give us those hearts today. Touch each part of our life. Help the truth of your love permeate every part of our minds and spirits and lift us up to honor you. We pray this all in your name, Jesus, and God's people say, amen. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture readings are in front of you, and you're certainly welcome to grab something else that I didn't offer there. So I want you to be thinking about that. I need my presenters to be coming forward today for children's sermon, if you would. And children, I'd invite you to come down, if you would. And some of you get on the, there we go. Some of you are up here. I mean, she's got it memorized. Woofda. Where's my other one? No, you're fine. Yep, you're right there. I will let Dad hold the mic for her, right by her lips and when she's ready to go. These young ladies have agreed to share something with you today. It's meant to be an appreciation of fathers, and I just really want to thank them ahead of time. And as you hear the little poem or message and understand the gift with which it's given, all of you kids, listen carefully while they do it. All right, here we go.
Green is for help. You are my unrenowned daddy. Green is for helping me teach about God. Blue is for helping me always being patient with me. Orange is for your smile. Yellow is for how you make me laugh. Red is for how you love our family. You are my unknown daddy. Marvelous, magnificent. Thank you, Jesus, for my daddy.
Now, you go back there, honey. Grab that from back there. Just hang on to it a minute. Well, today we have a wonderful treat for the daddies. And, Christine, come on out here, hon. She's got a basket full of goodies, and you all get to grab a couple of handfuls and give it to all the men or all the people? All the men in the congregation. Big men, little men, round men, thin men. Don't laugh. All right? And you get to say, God bless you. Can you do that for us today? Because it's important. Sometimes, do you think daddies ever feel sad inside? They can be sad if you get sick. They can be sad if something doesn't work the way they want it to, or something makes you unhappy. Sometimes, do your daddies ever make mistakes? This daddy did. I made mistakes. Sometimes I was loud when I should have been soft. And I was soft when I should have been loud. Sometimes I did things because I could only see this much in front of me, and I was, and other times, I just missed it. I didn't know my little boy or little girl was sad. I just sometimes missed it when I was talking to them. And so one of the things daddies need, mommies need, and little kids need is for us to share a little more love. And you heard her talk about my M&M daddy. What was the first M standing for? Meg? Marvelous. Marvelous. Second one was Meg?
Magnificent.
My M&M daddy. Now, if you don't happen to have your daddy here, you get to take one and give it to him later. Okay? So we want you kids, all of you, grab some handfuls, give out, ask them which one they want. There's some peanut and some plain, so you get to pick. Thank you, Brian. Go ahead, run them to all the daddies. Daddies, men, boys, raise your hands. Men or boys, raise your hand. There's enough here. When we run out, we'll start giving it to everybody else. There's one right there, blue shirt to blue shirt. Right in front of you, honey. There you go. Good. Atta girl. If you need more, get more. Give them to all the daddies and the men and the boys. Did you get one back there? John gets one way back there, honey. There we go. Now, go ahead. There's one right there. Right there. Now I'll start giving them to the... Oh, here's a daddy. Right there. You can throw it to him. There you go. Very good. I'll give them to the mummies. Because without the mummies, we wouldn't be daddies. So thank you, mummies, for all that meant. Now give it to the girls. Give it to the women. Give them away. Give them all your M&Ms away to both the men and the women. Women, help them out by raising a hand. Yeah. And then make sure you got one for you. I got extra stuff up here if they need it. Last verse on the chapter or the page in front of you, the white page, if you'll look at it. Keep passing them out. If we miss anybody, there's more. Here we go, right there. There's more over here. None of the ladies over here got them, did they? Way over here, honey. Ladies over here, get some. Good. It'll help them stay awake during the sermon until the sugar hits in. That's like kids after lunch. They're rambunctious for 15 minutes. You know this, right? I mean, you can't settle them down. And after 15 minutes, they go like this. Then they go like this. They're gone. So this has something to do with metabolism, I know. But Hebrews chapter 12, 7 to 11. You with me? Last one on the one side. Bottom of the sheet. There is a part of God, there's a part of growing, there's a part of maturing that I love about this verse that it teaches us. And it says this, endure hardship. My son found out how many hills there are between my house and Lamb of God against the wind. Endure hardship means you got to keep pumping even when your body says, what are you doing to me? Okay? Endure hardship is discipline. God is treating you as sons. Daughters is certainly appropriate. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Discipline is a peculiar word. Discipline doesn't mean punishment. Doesn't just mean I beat my kid every time they don't do something right. Discipline is following through on the directive you gave them. I told you to mow the lawn. Well, can't I go anyway? I'll mow it when I get back. No. Why did you? Discipline means you're going to have to get enough money to pay for your own car insurance before you can buy a car. How much is that? $1,100 a year. That's $100 a month. The most I will do for you is pay a third of it. Thanks, Dad. But if you don't earn the other two-thirds, you can't drive. That sucks. Discipline is, I told you to help your mom. And when they don't, you let them know. Discipline is teaching them how to forgive. Discipline is teaching them how to love. Discipline is teaching them how to survive when life gets difficult. I know those kids at schools did that to you. Once in a while, my father would say, "You have my permission." All the men know what I just said, right? All the women go, "Oh, no, you don't." "You have my permission." And that was, you know, discipline. There's a time to stand, a time to fight, a time to walk away, a time to be different things in different situations. You see, discipline isn't how much someone punishes me. Discipline is how God is going to teach me what matters in life. What actually is life all about? What are the circumstances of life all about? When I focus on the wrong thing, I think it's about stuff and money and position and prestige and fame and what other people think of me. When God looks at me and finally says, "I want to take that away from you. I want to remove it from your life because I don't want you to rest your value on what other people say or think of you. I want you to come to me. I want you to rely on me." That's discipline. None of it seems pleasant at the time you're going through it. But when you have to do it and go through it, and your dad or your mom or your family says, "You volunteered," you do it. And you show up on time. And you carry out your responsibility. You understand? I don't want any of us to walk out of here looking at this and "God punished me." No. It is, how does God help me figure out how to become a dad? The mechanics is the easiest part, isn't it? It's actually, how do you love a kid when you're changing their diaper and it smells like a diaper? When they've woken you or your wife or somebody up for the 18th time because they've got a fever or something. How do you teach a boy to become a man, to love a woman properly, with respect, with dignity, with honor, to treasure the difference? How do you teach a boy to share his strength with others around him? My dad would always be the one who would pitch for the kids in the neighborhood. First of all, he's a great pitcher. Second of all, he never cared if he batted. My dad was a great baseball player, but he pitched. And I had to share him with all the other kids in the neighborhood. And I didn't think they appreciated him. What I really thought was, he's my dad. What am I having to share him with you? When I was little, my dad had a bike seat put on that center bar in a boy's bike. He had a big padded seat about this long, about that thick. He would put me on that seat and carry me with him when he'd go on a bike ride so that I got to learn. Put your handles on. Put them on the handlebars. Steer. He carried me. When I got older and I would ride with him, my father grabbed the back seat of my seat on my bike when I started to get tired, and he would ride with me. If you know what he's doing, he was pulling me along. You know, I thought, oh, this is better than an electric bike. Right? And then when he said, I'm ready, you're ready? I go, I'm ready. He would give me this big shove, and he said, that's the way you do it in team racing. And so this father learned to do that for his own children. You see, discipline isn't simply yelling at my kid. Discipline isn't just simply resorting to the belt, although I had many experiences with that. And I deserved every one of them. Honest, I did. And that helped discipline too. But you start to understand, discipline is teaching my child to obey the first time I tell him. I said, sit up. I said, be quiet. Once. Holy cow. Dad really means it. If I would go like this or across the room and give them that dad look, they knew that if they didn't, I was going to stand up no matter where I was at. I would walk across that room. I would pick them up or I'd take them by the hand right off the stage, wherever they happen to be, and discipline. You see, discipline is so much more. It is learning how to love. It's learning how to forgive. It's learning how to think and approach when problems, strike you in the face and when circumstances are there. What's your discipline? I gotta fall apart. What happened? My water pump hose broke. Well, you better cry. I mean, your life's over. You know, Dad would go out there and go, huh. Always had electrician's tape. Those of you who have an electrician father. It's kind of the duct tape thing. Okay, let's try it. Fill it back up with some water. All right, we can go another 20 miles, 30 miles, whatever. You understand, there is this whole mindset of how you're to live. And fathers, that's that call. And so here, it goes, please understand, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. And I don't care if it's the discipline of training, right? The word training, repetitive, doing over and over again. My son didn't ride 200 miles just because he woke up one morning and said, I think I'll ride 200 miles. First thing I asked him was, how's your butt? Right? And you go, you have to toughen everything up. It's got the whole process. But painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been, look at the next word, trained by it. Training means repetition. Training means over and over again. Training means I got up more than once after the first directive. And all of a sudden, the other kids, the little ones, they'd understand. When I said it that way, it was real. It was now. My kids learned certain things. And I go, you don't mean to be mean. You mean to be disciplined. And the discipline that you have to give. And the discipline you're supposed to have isn't what you dreamed up on your own. It isn't the twisted perversion of what our minds are capable of. It is that which your Heavenly Father has taught you or that you learned through your father. So we're getting to that point where I'm going to start inviting you guys to either come down or just say, I don't want to come down, but I'll stand up in my spot and I'll walk around with a mic with you. If you're willing to come down, please be encouraged to do that. I want to know what you learned from your father that taught you a discipline that blessed your life, that encouraged you as a woman, a man, a young girl, a young boy, whatever it happens to be. I want to know in what way did God use your fathers in your life to teach you what really mattered. And which of all the things, and I know none of your fathers were perfect, because none of you are perfect, right? And I certainly wasn't. But here's the point. They all tried to teach you something good. Which was effective for you and why did it work? You can use a verse, you cannot use a verse. But what did they teach you that God would like you to refer to? Anyone have a word for the congregation? There we go, Mark. You want to come up?
I got one here.
Oh, that's right.
I cheat. We were actually reading this one this morning on our way in. It's from Proverbs 17. Grandchildren are a crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. And I guess one of the things when we were putting together pictures of my dad after he died, one of the things I saw over and over again was him interacting with the grandkids. And just that real intimacy with them. And I think that's something that I can learn and do the same with my grandkids.
Thank you, Mark.
To do that with them.
Thank you. You want to come right down, Carol? Good. We got, I think that's on. Yep.
My father gave me an opportunity to see what my heavenly father was like when I went to my parents to tell them that I'd had an abortion when I was younger, and I was coming to them to ask their forgiveness and find out how they were going to treat me from that point forward. I thought my sin was just way too great for him to ever look at me again. And I thought that he would just kick me out and never want to be with me again. And his words to me were, I would have been there for you and I loved you through it. And I just saw such a wonderful glimpse of what my Heavenly Father sees in me every day when I screw up. He still sees me with those eyes of love. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Carol. Someone else? Want to come down or stay there? No, I'll give you the mic. Hold it near your mouth, though. Thank you. Battery's bad. Someone else. Yeah, thanks, Mark. This battery's bad anyway.
I was talking with Dave when I came in this morning, and Father's Day has always been a difficult day for me. My father actually died on Father's Day, right before my third birthday. And so Father's Day has always been a bittersweet day for me. Of course, it was much better once I became a father and could enjoy having children of my own, but it was always a hard day. Even as an adult, even having had kids, it brings back a lot of sad memories as well. So Psalm 68, verse 5, a father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. I learned that my true father was in heaven and that he had everything that I needed right here in this book. And he was talking to me daily, as long as I was willing to read daily. And he was guiding me. And so Father's Day has always been a special day and yet a very difficult day. And then Psalm 146... Verse 9, if I can get to it here. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widows. And I believe that God was always there. And Fortunately, I had a grandfather who loved the Lord, and while we didn't live with him, he really became kind of that surrogate father for me, and always showed the love of the Lord. He showed discipline, even though he was a quiet giant. He was about probably a little bit taller than Bruce's height, about the same build, but he had that look, and you knew, don't want to cross that look. So, but my grandfather was probably the closest thing that I could say that I had to a father, and again, he showed it, his love of the Lord, and I think that's what is why I'm here today, is because of a father who helped me bring me into the world, and a grandfather who loved the Lord, that both brought me to where I am today.
Thank you, Mark. Got to stand up. Oh, yeah, don't care. Whoops.
Growing up, I always remember coming down the stairs after waking up and my dad always being in that same spot doing his devotion. And I think he still does that to this day. And he's led by example how important that quiet time with God is.
Amen. Thank you, Sharon. Remember, you're always welcome to go front. Otherwise, I'll come to you.
My father taught me responsibility. When I was near the end of high school, I said I wanted a car. And while my parents weren't rich or anything, he said, if you want a car, you're going to have to earn the money yourself. And the car I wanted was a 58 Impala convertible, Chevy. And I went out and earned the money, and that was my first car, and I really appreciated it. And he instilled in me the desire that you have to be responsible for whatever you want to do and whatever you want.
Thank you, Dave. Someone else? Gotta stand up, though.
My dad took me to church every Sunday, and what was neat about it is that he didn't just drop me off. He stayed there with my mom and my family. So we learned that church was important. It was important to him, so it was important to us. And that's why we continue to come today as a family.
I don't have enough time to really say all that I want to about my dad. And I just, because lunch is at 11, or lunch is at noon. But he taught me so many lessons. And the one that's maybe sticks out so importantly to me is that that need and that want to understand and to learn Scripture so that we can bring one more person into the kingdom. And I know you've heard me say that before, but it's still so paramount. That's, I think, whenever he sees a person that God loves, that he just tries to find a way into that conversation to bring spiritual matters and God in. And I will say that both my mom and my dad both taught me a lesson, as I now have kids that are married with families, is that he taught by example that maybe Deb and I weren't raising the kids just right or something, but he left us parent our kids, and he taught Deb and I not to get too much into their deal. They have to parent, they have to have a marriage that's theirs. And so I know I don't fulfill that completely. Sometimes I get my nose buttoned in on stuff that I shouldn't, but that's a lesson he really taught me, because through experience they had a uncle, my mom's brother, and they lived with them for a time, and they were raising the kids. And so they learned to step back. You gotta make the decision. I'm there for help. They were always there for my help on raising the kids or any kind of questions I had, but they weren't going to charge in.
Thank you, Tom. Anyone else? Feel free. Just go on up there or raise a hand.
I was blessed to have a heavenly father, a father, an uncle who I live with now, who's kind of like a father figure, and a grandfather who I absolutely adored. So I had, and then two older brothers who try to act like my father. So I have been insanely blessed to have these very, very, very strong Christian men in my life who have influenced me in many ways. And as Mr. Pett just said, I could talk forever about how many things I've learned from my dad. But the first thing that came to my mind is my dad taught me how to respect myself. And this morning he mentioned that my dress was short, and I was like, sorry, okay. But he was always very, very particular about what we wore, and how to not just look for accreditation from boys our age, but also just how to walk and dress and act with a respect to ourselves. And during Mother's Day, we were talking with my grandma and my mom about how it always made me feel really, really important anytime my mom said that she was proud of me, or when my grandma said she was proud of me. And I joked saying, I don't think my dad actually ever said those words to me growing up. He claims that he did, I don't remember them. But the one thing that always was really special to me growing up was when my dad would look at me and say, you look really pretty today. And not that, I don't really know why that stuck out so much, but anytime I knew that my dad thought I looked pretty, not just fine, you know, not just, oh, you look nice, that didn't work. It was a word pretty or beautiful or something like that that just really stuck out. And then I could leave the house and I just felt so much more pretty than I ever have before is when my dad told me that I looked pretty. So, fathers, tell your daughters they look pretty sometimes.
Amen. Thank you.
So, you know, when you're younger and you always look up to your dad, you kind of pick up things, like subtle things he does that you kind of copy along with him. Well, now that I'm older, I kind of realize some of the things that I do that are exactly like my dad. Whether it's from, like, singing in the car or his witty jokes. Like, I think I have the exact same sense of humor as my dad. But other things, too, like, more seriously, like his respect he has for people or how much of a Christian man he is. It's something that I can really look up to and as a great role model. And, like, I'm glad I'm growing up to be like my dad, and I hope I can be a dad someday just like he is.
Oh, thank you.
I find that I miss my dad a lot lately. A lot of milestones in my kids' lives. And I wish that they could enjoy him enjoying them in their milestones, in their challenges. But the thing that I've learned from my dad is that, I learned about my dad, is that my dad was a lot like that elephant. Remember the blind men and the elephant? And one's got the trunk, and one's got the leg, and one's got the tail, and they all have a different vision of their dad. My vision of my dad was, he's a really tough disciplinarian. And my relationship with my dad wasn't great growing up because he didn't talk a lot. It just said, do this and you better do it. And I was kind of rebellious. And not horribly rebellious, just kind of. But something that really opened up my eyes to my dad is how other people saw him, especially when I went to college. And he was an administrator at the college that I went to. And suddenly seeing my dad through the eyes of some of my friends and some of the other kids at school, they saw a completely different side of him. And what I found out is that my dad was extremely, while he was in the household, he was, I don't know if he was extrovert outside the house and inside the house, didn't talk and communicate a lot, but he was always touching the people around him and the lives that he touched in his job as a teacher and then an administrator at the university. The other kids just adored him and had learned a lot about him, and he was fathering many other kids at that time. I was a little bit jealous of that to a point, but as I got older, maybe as I got more mature, maybe I was listening a little bit more, yeah, I was just amazed at how much he had to offer. Little things like, hey, how's things going with you and your wife? Great. Check with my wife. At a time when I was doing grad school, working a lot, traveling a lot, and just basically not there. and he saw something, and he had a tenderness that I didn't always have or need or notice, and I find out that there's you know, something that maybe I should be paying more attention to. But through it all, I learned that he's got a much bigger perspective. You know, his toughness was for me to be tough because, look, life isn't about you. It's not a focus on you. You know, oh, you got a little owie, big deal, get moving on. And life is like that. And I've learned a lot from that, the discipline, the Saturday work days. When everybody else is playing around, well, guess what? A lot of those kids that were playing around and running around kept running around in high school and college and got themselves into a lot of trouble. And, you know, going to church every Sunday morning, no matter how tired and how much you didn't want to go, it didn't matter, you're going. You know, sometimes by your ear if you had to. I mean, all those stories, and I could go on and on and on, but he was a good man, a great man, and I appreciate him a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, so my dad has taught me a lot of things, but one of the things that I hold dear to my heart, my dad is very tender, and he is very, very patient. If we got in arguments with each other, he would not get mad, and it frustrated me because I'm sitting here getting mad at him, yelling at him, and he's just sitting there talking, and I'm like, I am such a bad person right now, and you are holding yourself together so well. And I really hope that I can have a patience like that when I am older, because I certainly am still learning and working on it now. And I really appreciate that you were always like that. And one of the other things is my dad is very humble, and he taught all of us to be very humble after basketball and volleyball games. If we thought that we did really good, we would talk about it in the car. And he'd be like, yeah. It's like, come on, like, I thought I did really good, Dad. And he's just like, you could have done better. And I was like, oh, okay. And so he always taught us to be very, very humble, that we aren't here just to play basketball and be good at it, but just to have good spirits and everything like that as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
This is for Nathan. What more can I say? He makes me cry. No. I am sharing something that my daughter shared with me one day after she had spent some time at Nate and Kate's house. She came home and she said, Mom, the neatest thing that I see with Nathan and Katrina is that they are so like-minded, and that's what I want to be, and I want to be like Nathan, who teaches his kids about God, who loves his wife, and who is there for his family. And that's from someone who observed him. And thank you, Nathan. So that's from your kids who aren't here today.
I cried this morning when we were playing a video. You all know I'm divorced, and so I'm speaking out for the women that don't have husbands anymore. And I have a verse from Isaiah 54. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not feel disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth. And remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young only to be rejected. When my husband left, I embraced this verse, and I raised my children, and I went forward and raised them with God being their father. At night when I'd go to bed, I'd put my hand up, and I'd pretend Jesus was there, and we would talk about the day. I'm sorry.
You're doing fine. Don't quit. Don't quit.
Anyways, I do
Praise God.
Just can think back. I don't really remember this, but my dad delivered me when I was born. And then he, I am told the story that he set me on my mother's stomach until the doctor got there to cut the umbilical cord, because he wouldn't do that. I remember when I was young, we went to church every Sunday also, and we walked a mile from our house to the church. We lived on 27th and North, and if you're familiar with Milwaukee, that's a high crime area right now. And then we went to church down on 22nd and Lloyd, I believe it was. Leutervine. But anyway, my dad was a baker, and the highlight when we were young was Saturday mornings. We'd all get the guys in the neighborhood, we'd all get together and walk down to the bakery, and we could get hot punchkas right out of the oven, you know. And probably the worst thing in the world for you, but it does put on a few pounds. When I was in my teens, my folks were divorced, and I got to not really have too much good to say about my dad after that. There, I guess I blamed him more for the divorce. But later on in life, when he was diagnosed with...
It's on, you're okay.
Okay. When he was diagnosed later on in life with pancreatic cancer, and I got an aunt and my grandmother were trying to get him and I back together again as to be friends. And the thing I remember was when he was in the hospital and we were visiting him, we went to visit him, and he introduced me to he had gotten remarried and had some other kids and with his second wife, but he introduced me to his kids as his son. And I guess we kind of ironed things out at that time. And I was very glad of it.
Thanks, Ron.
So probably the greatest thing my father ever did for me was to marry my mom. She is a God-fearing woman and helped keep our family together. Going to church, keeping Christ at the front of our household. And I'm I'm hopeful that that's a tradition that with my wife I've helped carry on in our family. But there's so many things that I've heard from all the other stories here today that just ring so true that my dad, the reason I wasn't going to say anything, but the reason I'm up here is not to tell you guys how good my dad is, but to honor my father. And to honor him for all the things that he's done. Appreciate what Henry said, always do. He's a smart kid, let me tell you. And it's those moments in time when, you know, each of my kids, I get a chance to have a word with them every now and then when, you know, just there's a quiet time. And it's those things that I see reflected back. And it's the some of the fatherly things that are fun, that are funny, but it's that hope, that the like-mindedness that my wife and I share, that we hope the best for our kids for the future. And if we can set our kids, our children, on that path early so that they understand what it's like to be to show Christ through their lives. One of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten was my wife showed up at my work one day to drop something off, and they sat outside the double doors. I was coming down. You can't really see in. It was a bright, sunny day. And so you can see through one set of doors, but not really. And it was, you know, shadowy, and people were coming and going, and the kids were trying to guess who was coming. And suddenly, I don't remember who it was. I think it might even have been Addison, who said, "Oh, that must be Dad." And sure enough, it was me. And my wife goes, "Well, why did you think that was Dad?" Because he held the door open for somebody. So, didn't know I did it. It's just kind of a habit. But it's one of those things when, you know, you can have a chance to rub off on your kids in a good way and show Christ. So, I'm here to honor my dad with a few of those things.
Dr. Dobson shared that his mother never even knew how to open a car door. Says, because my father always walked around that car and opened it for her. There is a blessing beyond words in the lessons that we have been given and have learned. And I want to thank all of you for your contribution today. And for all of you who just kind of are just between you and the Lord thinking about it and saying that, God has an intent to bring about a discipline in us that heals, restores, makes us new, gives our children, our wives, sons and daughters hope, and teaches them how to sustain and be strong in the middle of the inconsistencies of life in the world. And so when we're blessed enough to hear that, or even think about it, or remember it in whatever portion, in the part that I do like, as Sandy shared, for those whose fathers leave, or those whose fathers have died, or circumstances that are outside, certainly a child's control, and a wife control many times, God steps in and says, I will be the father to the fatherless. You remember the first song we sang today, that whole process of God being the father to the fatherless, and ultimately the one who teaches us character too. We have a video I want to show you. I don't want the offering taken at this time. I want you to watch the video, and we'll go through that. I'll give Tom a moment to go up and sing it. I was YouTubing. You know, that's not inner tubing, it's YouTubing. And I always pick Christian songs or speakers or sermons, and I just happened to be running through these songs, and all of a sudden I hit, what's the name of the group?
I want to be just like you.
No, what's the name of the group? You got? Thank you. So I go, oh, I haven't heard these guys for a long time. And I put this on, and I heard it, and I started to cry. And I said, Tom, do you think you could sing this for Father's Day? And I think it took about 6 days, for 5 days, for him to respond to that. And he's usually very quick. Said, got the DVD or the CD, and he said, I'll be glad to do it. So Mark, Sandy, and Tom have each contributed to this going on right now. And so I want you to enjoy it and let it bless your heart.